right, hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, John, it's Friday. We made it through the week. We are talking about minutes 9 through 10 today. And this one starts off with pretty much Leto telling us like what his last name is. What house he's from.
We are really confirming.
Yeah.
It's like when you are checking in for like a doctor's appointment or something like that, and they're like first name, last name.
Yeah.
And then it's just like constantly over and over confirming.
Yes, this is done in response to Harold's question, which is not really a question. Do you accept?
Leto's answer is, we are House Atreides. There is no call we do not answer. There is no faith that we betray. The Emperor asks us to bring peace to Arrakis. House Atreides accepts. And then we get this eruption from the background of Atreides, Atreides, Atreides. Clearly, Leto has some fans.
Yeah, I was wondering, like,
are they fans if you pay them, though?
I don't know. My question for this whole thing was, do you think they practiced this beforehand? Is this a common enough occurrence to where they just knew what to do right after he was going to say, like, after he said that?
I think it's kind of like the wave where, like, it starts, but, like, it grows over time. Every time, like, the wave goes around a stadium, like, someone will start it. And it's like kind of half-assed for like the first round, and then people get into it, but then they stop after the second round because no one wants to keep doing it. But there are also those guys that just insist on keep doing it.
Well, they all start at the same time.
True. It seems to be louder the second shout.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is. What I was thinking was, so Leto and his little cadre are standing up on a platform, right?
Yeah.
And there's like these big banners behind them, and then the army's behind the banners.
Right.
I was thinking that there are people standing right behind the banners that we can't see with like cue cards.
Holding applause signs and stuff.
Yeah, and they were just going, Atreides, Atreides. So that would make sense. And you know, that's good production value.
It's like the episode of The Tonight Show and the TVs are up top and stuff. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's exactly what happened. I like to believe that's what happened. Because it was very well coordinated, and I cannot imagine that he gives that speech enough to where they just know, hey, okay, after he says, we accept, make sure we shout his last name a bunch.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was fun. It was kind of sent a chill up my arm when they started doing it when I first saw it.
Yeah.
It was very well coordinated.
We then see Leto start to make his way down to the table, and we get a cut to the sister of the Bene Gesserit with a gold wax candle. Mm-hmm. She's just melting the wax onto the scroll for a stamp. One thing that I noticed, though, is that the wax candle is engraved with... So the Bene Gesserit in this movie have this really cool like vine-looking thing with... it's like this vine looking symbol, but it's got like stars and stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And the side of the candle is engraved with that too. So it's some kind of special Bene Gesserit seal candle situation, whatever. Do you think all Bene Gesserit become notaries?
I would have to imagine so. Yeah.
Like it's a requirement that you have to become notarized. You also have to like become, not like an ordained minister, but like whatever you need to like do weddings or whatever. Yeah. I guess it's
ordained. Yeah, getting ordained.
There's a bunch of bureaucratic requirements.
They can only do it when they're on their ship, though, at sea.
Yeah. International waters.
Yeah. I was thinking that the
not wax, in the Highliner though. That breaks the space and guilds.
Can't do that. I was thinking that that candle. It's like they had a birthday party for one sister of the Bene Gesserit. And in order to get the cool design on the candles, they had to order in bulk.
Yeah.
So like they all carry one around just in case they need it. And they
were, happy birthday. Yeah.
And at this time, the stamp or the seal wasn't exactly needed on here. But that sister was like, before the doors came down on the ship, she was like, I got this thing. Let me just like do it. It'll look really cool. I know he's wearing the ring. I know he's wearing the ring. We'll just have him like put it in there. It's funny. So I don't know. That's there's my theory.
All of those are probably wrong. But we do see Leto approach, and we see him kind of like stand at the table and almost hesitate for a second.
Yeah, he looks
he's gonna do it. But you know, we will come to learn that he is effectively signing his and his whole house's death sentence in doing this.
Yeah, and this is a part that is kind of rewarded on a rewatch of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see that look, and when I first saw it, I thought it was just like a look of uncertainty about should we be doing this, but really it was a look of like I'm sorry, we have to. It's like, this is not going to be fun, and after I do this, it's like actually official.
It's fucking go time.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It looked like uncertainty at first. It was some other different like worry emotion upon rewatch, which I think makes more sense. But upon a first viewing, I could totally see this being like trepidation or something.
Yeah. Before we cut from this shot, though, we do see behind Leto's right ear, there's like this almost gold button looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know what that's about just yet. But
not yet.
It is an implant that is used for, it's kind of like a multi-purpose implant. And we'll see more of its functionality and everything later on.
Oh, yes.
But I think it's a very tasteful, you know, kind of just like subtle behind the ear.
Yeah.
Implant. It's not, you know, he hasn't become a Borg.
Oh, no.
But, you know, even though we're in a future where thinking machines are outlawed, doesn't mean that all of technology is stifled. No,
there's still technology around, just nothing that's sufficiently advanced.
Yes.
Yep.
Our music starts to swell as Leto then presses his ring into the melted wax. We cut to the sister of the Bene Gesserit, who is just kind of doing her grumpy old lady stare. And then once again, hard cut to Jessica.
Yep.
Who is starting to stress out a little bit.
Yeah, she does not look like she's having a good time. She looks very uneasy, and I thought Paul sensed it too, because he kind of looks over at her like, what the hell's going on here?
Yep.
Like some bad vibes all around the room with this whole thing. And, you know, what this is that the sister of the Bene Gesserit likely knows what's happening. Like she knows the plan within plans. That's kind of their whole deal.
Sure. You know? Yeah, I mean it's not a secret that Arrakis is a less than hospitable place right. to be thrown to yeah. by the Emperor.
Yeah.
So, and also the cruelty of the Harkonnens as well.
Yeah, yeah, and it just makes me think like she knows what's up. She knows like the significance and the weight that this decision carries. Also knows that he doesn't have a choice in it. Actually, he's got to be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that look over to Jessica was one of like, you're fucking in it now. Like get yeah. ready, buckle up. And, yeah, this minute ends with the Bene Gesserit looking away from Jessica.
Yes. Not necessarily out of malice or anything, but just
back to the action.
Yeah.
Back to
it's another day of the office.
Back to the conference table, the huge conference table they have taken out in the middle of this rain-soaked carpet.
Yeah, it's very nice oak.
Oh, for sure.
Or whatever, I don't know what it is.
Or whatever wood grows on Caladan.
I do, before we end this minute, want to talk a little bit about the design of the costumes and dress of the Atreides. Last episode, we talked a lot about the members of the royal court. In the first few minutes, we see the Harkonnen and how they are very bug inspired, H.R. Geiger inspired. Mm-hmm. We see the royal court, which is very, you know, monochromatic for the court itself. We see the Spacing Guild with their ornate. We see the Bene Gesserit with their plain blacks. But the Atreides are very what I would call like late 19th century, like royal kind of military garb and everything.
Yeah.
But also, more importantly, like their dark green really just matches their home world of Caladan, which is very, I wouldn't say like super lush like a jungle, but it's also not, you know, a dry desert. It's not. Yeah,
there's a lot of life there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are places in Caladan that are forests and stuff.
That, well, sure. From what we see, though.
Yeah, it's falling into a trope of a lot of sci-fi shows get into this. This every planet is only one biome. There's only one type of environment that exists on each planet. So I would have to imagine, and we at least see ocean and land on Caladan. So we've kind of broken that a little bit, but
it's not a dust ball.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope we get to see some variety in the different planets that we see later on in the movies.
So that's all I wanted to say about that. Right. I just think it's really cool. I like the metal eagles that are, I guess they're eagles.
I think so. Eagles or hawks, one of those.
Something.
I'll have to look that up. I know the encyclopedia has like the sigils and like the actual like the animals and the colors and the meanings and everything. So I'll have to look that up.
Sure.
Be better prepared next time.
Well, the lion for the Carinos makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyways, that's all I wanted to talk about. I just thought it was cool.
Well, any other notes?
Nothing for this week. I think, you know, all in all, this is a good week for world building. Mm-hmm. I realized just now that we haven't given any Shai Hulud's.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
I think all in all, it's a good introduction to a lot of the world. Plus we get that awesome shot of the Highliner. So if I had to give the week a Shai Hulud rating, I'd say probably 4.5.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. Well,
So.
Yeah, good minute. A lot of important, good set of minutes. A lot of important stuff that's been introduced. It's going to help getting through this story a lot easier.
Yep.
But still, we are still very much within the world building part of the movie.
We're in the first 10 minutes, baby.
Hey, we got 10 minutes down, man. 10 minutes down.
10 minutes down, 145 more to go.
Hey, we'll get there. All right, cool. Well, join us next week as we continue talking about Dune minute by minute. Next week, we will be starting minutes 10 through 11. So we will see you then on the Dune Minute Podcast.
Talk to you guys later.
See you.